And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 141 for March 10th, 2016. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Old School at the Movies, which you're actually listening to, and a bunch of heavy set shit. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com is our fuck. See, it's been too long. I literally can't do the intro. And I'm going to actually post at the end of the episode all the fuck-ups I've already done. I've messed up about four times. My hedgehog is going crazy. My neighbors are going crazy. Let's just get right into it. Our panel this week, start off, where's Heavyset? Does that mean?
It's over.
Actually, technically, no, because he did submit a clip. It was a little longer than I would have expected. It was like a Ghostbusters and TMNT kind of commentary. He said after, like, even after editing, it went over 30 minutes. So it'd be a little long to put in this episode, but I did put it actually as a separate episode. It should already be on the feed by the time you guys check episode 140. And it's just Heavyset with 30 minutes of Ghostbusters and TMNT commentary. So, well, I guess we'll give him a gray area and we'll allow him to technically be a contribution on this episode for that episode. It's kind of gray area, but we'll let him in just because he's been here for 3+ years straight, no break. So I guess for this episode, our Iron Man's gonna be Carp.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
From All Beer Inside, edited episode 5 and WrestleCast last week. And
yeah, you're active.
That's it. I am active.
No, but you're active, man. Yeah, and you're editing episodes now. You've pretty much taken over All Beer.
Yeah, that's the plan. And we'll be getting another All Beer Inside within the month as well. So
there you go. So, because last time I did it, we took about five months to edit.
Just a little bit. I mean, we did try pumpkin beers and then it came out in February.
Well, you know, nobody really noticed it until you brought it up.
And it's, you know, in the episode as well. So
right. Also, we've got Kebbo Trek.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
I'm back.
Yeah. And we've got...
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
And last but certainly not least, I guess our new American on the panel for this week.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, the world needs help, it calls on America. I know who's asked to kick.
The mop motherfucking jockey.
Yeah, it's the better half of the real Americans anyway. Let's face it.
Agreed. All right. Without further ado, we're getting back into the news episodes. So let's get straight into it.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
I'm Brian, and this is IGN News. Arnold Schwarzenegger plans to meet with the Predator director, Shane Black, to discuss appearing in the upcoming film. Schwarzenegger, last seen in the original 1987 Predator movie, would reportedly be reprising his role as Major Alan Dutch Schaefer in The Predator. During his annual Arnold Sports Festival, Schwarzenegger said, "I haven't talked with him yet, but I'm going to meet with him for lunch sometime soon, just as soon as I'm finished with this and The Apprentice and all this stuff. But I will get together with him. If there's any news, we'll of course let you know right away." Schwarzenegger has not appeared in any of the Predator sequels or follow-up films. He was featured as a playable character in the Capcom Alien vs. Predator game. The Predator is expected to open March 2nd, 2018. For all your Arnold news, stay tuned to IGN.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's been a while since he's been on there. I wouldn't give him a major role, though, because we've seen in current iterations of movies with him starring in it, he has limited ability due to his age. I'm not shitting on him. When you're late 60s, almost 70 years old, there's only so many action scenes you can film without doing 1,000 cuts. But, I mean, to be honest, Carp, I'd like to see him as a secondary character in the franchise. I think it would add to it. There's pretty much nothing else he hasn't reprised already, so why not do Predator as well, have him in there, get a bit of extra cash for it.
Well, I think what would work is if they somehow, from the third movie, Predators, brought Adrian Brody and Alice Braga back, and he had them as, like, you know, he's like their general, and they go out and take out Predators on Earth or something like that. I think that would work. So, because at the end of Predators, you just see Adrian Brody and Alice Braga still sitting on whatever fucking planet that they were on.
Okay, let's throw it out to the panel. What do you guys think of Arnold reprising his role in Predator? Yeah, do you think it's too little, too late? Do you think it would add to the franchise? Would you make him star in one? Like, where do you think it should go?
Oh, I'm just glad it's not another friggin' reboot. I could see Arnold being like a trainer of sorts, you know, something along those lines, just having that, you know, not a real action-y role, but more of a mentor-y type role. I think that would be kind of neat.
I mean, we've seen great success in Stallone in Creed as a trainer playing Rocky, but I find it's appropriate for his age. You don't make him star in an action movie anymore, and I think he adds a lot of character juice to that franchise, and I think Arnold could do the exact same thing in Predator.
But these are two different kinds of movies, no? I mean, Rocky was always this kind of underdog story, real life stuff, and usually, you know, also winning awards, you know, and stuff like that. Predator is more of a big box office smash movie, so it's a bit different. Like, what kind of role would he be, like Lawrence Fishburne in the previous Predator movie? Do you know what I'm referring to?
No,
I'd say more of a like Earth General or
Earth General. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, okay. You know,
don't put him on the main line, but I mean, he can add to that franchise because he's been there before. Okay, so just don't focus on.
He'd be the same character.
Yeah, well, they're saying he played Dutch again.
Okay, I see. Okay.
So what?
That makes sense. Yeah.
I would do, like, I wouldn't go where they went with a kind of Gary Busey where he was leader of his little group there and got bit pretty bad in the end. But, you know, you make him a guy who's trying to have a group of people who focus on even maybe going to the Predator planet and being like, look, listen, you fucked with us. We're fucking with you back. That's always a possibility. It depends how far down the future you're talking here for storyline-wise.
I know when I heard this news, my first thought was that it's the only way he can even remain semi-relevant, because he's not gonna, let's be honest, any new movie he makes that's not a reboot or like going back to one of his old franchises isn't gonna do anything.
But you know what, even then it didn't do anything for Terminator. No, he was back, yeah, exactly. And it bombed.
Like I said, this is the only way he can kind of remain relevant, because he's not really relevant anymore.
But that's not true. I mean, we saw that, was it the movie Amy where he has like a zombie girl?
Maggie.
That's his best movie of the past 5 years. So, like, I disagree with you, Kev, even though I like you a lot as a human being. I think, but in the end...
I don't think he's a great human being, and I still disagree.
Did it make any money, though?
But that's not the point.
It's an independent release.
It's an independent release, but, like, that's why it doesn't need to make money, but he's still prevalent, he's still doing something really good. So, for him to, I guess, stay relevant is maybe doing something a bit out of left field. Going back to the old roots is not really working as well as people thought it would.
Fuck you, Terminator!
What? No, that didn't work.
Fuck you, it did work.
No, it didn't work for shit.
Fuck you, it worked amazing.
No, I disagree.
You're full of shit. I love The Last Terminator.
That was not a great movie.
It was a good movie. It wasn't great, it was good.
No, it wasn't. It really was not.
Yes, it tied up all the loose ends.
What?
it was widely accepted as a decent movie.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, once you check the reviews, asshole. Rotten Tomatoes, idiot.
What is on Rotten Tomatoes? Can you check?
Don't worry about it. It's good. I liked it. It made sense to me.
It's got a.
I love. I think even him, they hit his age well. It was good.
It's got a Metascore of 38 out of 100. Man,
there you go. It's in the fourth percentile. It's in the fourth.
Rotten Tomatoes 26%. What do you mean hit his age? The whole point is that he is.
Hold on. Are you checking critics or fans? Because that's bullshit. Okay,
fans,
check the fan score, idiot. 56%. There you go. It's over 50. In the States, he would have passed.
Not in Canada.
Hey, no.
That's the worst excuse ever.
You can't. Let me finish.
That would be like on the box.
Bernie Sanders, let me finish. I'm talking. Okay, a higher percent of Americans liked it than didn't liked it.
By the way, this would be great.
Your English was super incorrect there. By the way,
what I love is like the quote for like the DVD. It's like on DVD, it's written like in the States, it would have passed old school. That's like the claim.
I would have said a larger percentage of people liked the movie that did not like the movie.
It sounds like a whole lot of people tolerated the movie.
Well, that's your interpretation, which is wrong. but it's your opinion. And in your country, you have the right until Trump becomes president to express your opinion.
Hey, I'll still have my right. I'm white.
And on that note,
just saying, white or black, you're all screwed if Trump wins.
Okay, on that note, let's get to a Ghostbusters trailer.
It's a class 4 apparition. That's okay, she seems peaceful.
My name is Erin Gilbert, doctor of particle physics. That stuff went everywhere, by the way, in every crack. Very hard to wash off.
We have dedicated our whole lives to studying the paranormal. Now there's sightings all over the city.
There are people out there that need our help.
Holtzman, you're a brilliant engineer.
Erin, no one's better at quantum physics than you.
We can provide a real service.
I'm joining the club.
You guys are really smart about this science stuff, but I know New York. And I can borrow a car from my uncle.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
It's a Cadillac!
Let's go.
Let's go.
Next time.
Okay. Someone is creating a device that amplifies paranormal activity. And we might be the only ones who can stop it.
Holtzman, come on.
The hat is too much, right? Is it the wig or the hat?
There's a bigger picture at hand here. These ghosts can possess the human form.
Oh, hell no, the devil is a liar! Get out of my friend, ghost!
Ow, that's gonna leave a mark!
The power of pain compels you!
Ow!
Okay, my initial reaction, I'm surprised. I thought it would be a terrible trailer. By the way, 30 years after the previous iteration, I believe it's 30 years exactly, starring Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, and Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones. It's the new version of Winston.
I was going to say, should we just call her Token?
Yeah, exactly.
But they make it like obvious because it's the same thing. It's like she comes in later just like he did.
Well, I don't mind. I think her comedy adds to it.
Of course.
They're really good together. And that's primarily because most of them were on SNL, except for Melissa McCarthy. Let me finish. Yeah, okay. I'm giving my interview.
Right.
Okay. Melissa McCarthy, I find, is toned down a bit, which is good. Because her two up, like in Bridesmaids, would overshadow the other characters. So I like the fact that she's kind of toned down in this. They had the old theme. The effects look good. I like some of the ghosts, especially the giant dude on the stilts. Like, he looked pretty cool.
You mean the Beetlejuice one?
The Beetlejuice guy, yeah. He looked pretty cool. And I'm pretty sure Stay Puft's coming back. I got a good feeling that Stay Puft is going to be back, and he's my favorite guy. We saw Slimer, of course, so to me it looks good. It reminds me of the first one a lot, and maybe some people might see that as a downside. I don't. Star Wars, it worked when they brought back kind of the old feeling, so I'm actually surprised to say I'm optimistic for this movie now. Heavy Set, if you guys want to check out episode 140 on the feed, he gives his in-depth review, and it's not very positive, but I can say that I'm looking forward to this as a casual fan. Will, go ahead.
Me too. I was actually going to ask you, who's your favorite of those four girls?
I would say Wig, but McKinnon is close because it's a perfect character for her. If you see her SNL stuff, she plays really wacky, kind of off the rocker characters. It's perfect for her. Okay, Carp, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, not as disappointed as I initially thought I was going to be. I'm actually looking more forward to this than Batman versus Superman. So that's my opinion.
For shame. Fucking shame.
I was getting ready to shit all over it, and it doesn't look terrible. Like, even the initial joke where they're kind of, it's almost like they're in that library, like in the first one with that first ghost that pukes all over Kristen Wiig or ectoplasms her. I like how they've also changed it to a hearse for Ecto 1 instead of the old school ambulance that they use. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out at some point for sure. I had low hopes and they built them up a bit. I'm still not going to build myself all the way up for it just in case. But, you know, I'll try and remain positive from here on out, and definitely going to check it out while it's in the cinema. So.
Yeah, I'm going opening weekend. I'm actually looking forward to it. Mop Jockey, let's get your thoughts, man.
Yeah, underwhelmed and unimpressed. It just seems like almost a shot-for-shot remake of the first one.
Okay, let me... Actually, question for you. Did you see the new Star Wars?
Yeah, yes.
Same reaction?
No, because there was enough that felt different. It's telling the same story in Star Wars, but it was felt like the characters were actually different. These are almost the exact same characters from the first one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Winston, McCarthy's playing Bill Murray's role, and McKinnon and Wigg are playing the other two roles. So Egon and... fuck.
Dan Aykroyd.
Ray and Egon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the ghosts being like neon bright blue.
It's different,
what the
though.
Fuck?
I think they're just updating it a bit. Like,
yeah, but they didn't need to. Part of the ghosts were supposed to be scary.
But here's the thing, because you in one sentence say you don't like the fact that they're rehashing it, and then in another sentence you shit on it because it's a different colored ghost.
Right, because they made the ghosts like happy, smiley blue colors.
Yeah. Yeah, they're toning it down a bit, I guess.
Shouldn't you kind of be afraid of the ghosts?
Yeah, but as the theme says, I ain't afraid of no ghost.
But they were clearly afraid of ghosts in the movie.
Kev, I want to get your thoughts.
I think it looks absolutely horrible.
Wow. Yeah, but you were never a fan, though.
Well, no, that's the thing. That's what I was going to mention. Like, when I rewatched the 80s movie, I found it didn't hold up at all, and I didn't really enjoy it. And as soon as I saw the trailer for this, I'm like, there's no way I'm seeing it. Just the fact that it has Melissa McCarthy pretty much means I'm not seeing it.
You want to rephrase that? Because I'm pretty sure if your girlfriend wants to go, guess where you're going to see, buddy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's going.
Yeah,
he's
going.
Exactly. So, fuck you.
But no, right. On my own, I think it looks horrible to me, and anything she's in, I don't want to see it.
Well, I think you're shitting on her a little too much, because she did tone it down a bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm Will, by the way, let's get your thoughts.
Thanks. I'm on your side, old school. I'm also on Kibble's side, because I never grew up with the old Ghostbusters. I watched it for the first time when I was an adult, and I didn't really get what people were like talking about, because I didn't grow up with it. I thought it wasn't, you know, all that. I didn't even get what the tone was trying to be. Anyways, I didn't really get the movie. But this looks fun. I enjoyed this trailer. I like these women, especially Kate McKinnon. I'm a big Kate McKinnon fan. I think she's phenomenal on SNL. And that's why part of me wishes that Hillary Clinton wins, you know, just so that Kate McKinnon can have, four more years of skits to do. No, she's awesome. So this looks like a lot of fun. I'm with the Mop Jockey about the blue ghosts. We've seen that too much in Hollywood. It reminds me of, like, The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy. I don't know. It doesn't work. I would have gone for, like, maybe white. Maybe something that looks a bit more real, not as CGI. Oh, you know what I mean?
Really, Will? The white
the
ghost?
Blue makes it look CGI. What do you mean?
The white ghost, Will? You fucking racist.
No, but, like, usually, like, I don't know if... You know what I'm trying to say, but...
I think what he's trying to say is if it ain't white...
Exactly. There should be a bathroom for white ghosts, and there should be a bathroom for
imagine segregated ghosts.
Guys, okay, dumb question, but during segregation... Where did the Asians pee?
Colored.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were considered white colored, and yes. Colored.
Oh, I didn't... Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, basically, white people hated everyone that wasn't white.
Also, another question. When did the Asians get to vote? Was it when they were allowed with Martin Luther King? Is that when the Asians were able to vote, too? Or were they get grouped up with the blacks? I don't know. Go ahead, DeMarchon.
Yeah, I would assume it was all at the same time when whatever minorities were allowed to vote, but...
Dude, what is this show, All Races Inside now, or? What
the movies where we talk about segregation in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
And black ghosts and peeing 60s. In different bathrooms.
All right. All right. Thanks.
So moving along.
Wait a minute. How does a black ghost pee anywhere? They just can piss wherever because they can't be seen.
Well, we clearly saw them in the movie.
And we'd see them during the daytime.
Wait, what? Don't see them at night?
Well, no.
A black ghost? No. Not in the dark.
Oh, wait. Oh, I see.
There's a joke there, and I'm not going to transition.
I didn't
want to
say it.
Aren't these ghosts like...
We're just going to transition.
Yeah. But they're skeletons. We all look the same on the inside, and they're all skeletons, right?
Yeah. Okay, so Venom. Now that Spider-Man's big screen future is arranged, it was only a matter of time before Sony Pictures turned its attention to one of the web-slinger's greatest foes and the most likely spin-off movie candidate, Venom. A new report claims that the Marvel Comics anti-hero is once again the subject of a potential solo movie, but it's unlikely that its iteration of Venom will have any cinematic connection to the new Spider-Man. Boo. The script for the film is reportedly being penned by Edge of Tomorrow screenwriter Dante Harper, and by the way, Edge of Tomorrow, awesome movie.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Venom movie is being produced by longtime Spider-Man stewards Avi Arad and Matt Tolmalch, and it's being envisioned as the start of a new franchise not connected to the upcoming, still untitled Spider-Man reboot, co-produced by Sony and Marvel Studios. Start off with Mop. Let's get your thoughts on a Venom franchise.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited if they do this. They're just... I like the villain-type characters typically more than I do the heroes. And this is just right up my alley. And hopefully they don't go the route of whatever Spider-Man that was that Venom was in. And they...
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, that was just...
Tobey Maguire, right? Tobey Maguire.
Topher Grace.
He's not going to be a villain, though.
No. He'll be similar to what Deadpool is and kind of the anti-hero.
But they might make him be the military version. Because if they're going by the fact that he carried a movie, I'm pretty sure they're going to make him be... the name's escaping me now. But the bully that's... Flash Thompson. He's going to be Flash Thompson. He won't be Eddie Brock, I think.
I mean, there's so many ways that I can go. Does it matter for you?
What would you like?
No, it does not make any difference to me as long as we get it. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. I'm over the reboots of Spider-Man. I'm over the reboots of Superman and Batman and all of them. Give us something new.
By the way, I don't care what it is as long as I get it. People said that about Deadpool, and then they got him in the Wolverine movie. And yet,
that was not Deadpool. Okay, that was not limits. Deadpool.
That was Project Deadpool. That wasn't Deadpool. There's a big fucking difference. And it went from Ryan Reynolds to Scott Adkins. So it was a completely different person.
It's Scott Adkins.
It's Scott Adkins who's Weapon X1.
That's awesome. Okay, thanks.
So we didn't really get that Deadpool. As for me, I mean, Venom's changed so much in the comics over the years, and they could use so many different characters. And, well, 3 kind of ruined it because they killed it, quotation marks, with the explosives. So we'll see. Their best bet, like Will said, is taking Flash Thompson. Because in the comics now, he's helping out Guardians of the Galaxy and shit. He's a space warrior.
He's a hero.
So we'll see. I mean, I don't know if they'll reboot it. I hope not. They're going to have to in one sense because they're going to have to bring the symbiote back. I mean,
they could always just pretend it never happened.
Wait, what do you mean bring symbiote back? But they already rebooted Spider-Man twice. So where would
you come? And the reboot, yeah, exactly. So it would have to come along with that new reboot. Now, the question is, do you make it PG-13? Or because of the success of Deadpool, do you try and make that R as well?
We're going to see a lot more attempts.
You know what? Is it my turn to talk or no?
Go for it.
Okay. I spoke with you guys when I was talking about the Venom stuff, so I'll talk about just the PG-13 stuff. I am all for R ratings, but when you're doing it just because it's the new thing, it sucks all the fun anyways. For example, the weekend after Deadpool did a lot of money, was Superman v. Batman has an R-rated version on the DVD, which means it's probably seen, they didn't shoot yet. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's very convenient. Very convenient. I don't know. If it's done well, I'm all for radar. But PG-13 can be fun too.
So. Yeah. Do we just want to go ahead and get into this now?
What?
Well, I hate the idea of all these movies wanting to be rated R.
Yeah.
There's only certain characters that need it.
Yeah.
And there's not that many. Most of them are perfectly fine at PG-13. I don't want to see a rated R Superman, not even rated R Batman.
Well, you know what? What about Dark Knight, though? Because Dark Knight, I felt, really needed the R. Because there was a scene where the Joker was trying to kill someone, and then it happens off screen, and that kind of ticked me off. No, you didn't feel that in Dark Knight?
No, I thought Dark Knight was almost a perfect movie. But to try to horseshoe people into the R rating, just, it doesn't make sense. Certain characters say Punisher, Deadpool, the super gory, super violent ones, yeah, they need it. But the X-Men, they don't need an R rating. Wolverine does not need to be R rated to be a good movie. I just, and you know, Hollywood is going to take, oh, this one movie did really well, so we're all going to make them all rated R. No, don't do that.
I agree.
Most of the Avengers don't need to be. No. I actually don't. I wouldn't mind a Wolverine because some of his scenes could be more graphic.
Wolverine is iffy.
Yeah. Did they, okay, wait, Carp might know, did they release an R-rated version of the Wolverine movie?
I had heard that on DVD and Blu-ray there was supposed to be an unrated version. I never found it personally.
Okay.
But they could have easily done, I mean, the amount of guys he slices up, like you could easily have limbs flying places.
Yeah, and like blood on his claws
and stuff. And blood on his claws and stuff, but they never did that.
Because there was a shot that they put online that went viral about Wolverine with blood on his claws. We didn't see that in the movie, so I don't know.
That was at the when it first got leaked. Just remember it was one of the big leaks at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, like even on Amazon, I only see the Wolverine Blu-ray DVD digital, so I don't even know if they had an unrated version. And with how shit X-Men Origins Wolverine was, for sure they don't have a second version, third version of that anyways. Now, to me, it's the millennial saying that Deadpool's like the best R-rated comic book movie of all time. Sorry, well, you're fucking idiots. Wrong.
They're wrong. Of course.
It's okay, what is The Crow.
Oh, that was one Blade. Of
the best Blade. R-rated. Blade was good as well, but The Crow was the first R-rated comic book movie.
But the thing is that The Crow is still not a Marvel character. Blade at least is. That's why I thought Blade was a bit more interesting, like high profile.
Sony did Blade, right?
I'll go check if Blade was a Sony release or not.
It was New Line Cinema.
Oh, okay, cool. So, but yeah, I feel like, especially when Blade starts with like a rave of blood, like to me that's like the blood R all the way.
Blade was where it was supposed to be, but now that everybody's like, oh, we have to do R now because of Deadpool's success, like Mop said, it does not belong with every character. So
no, as a matter of fact,
just like 3D,
it doesn't belong with many of the characters.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you think about it, not many people realize that like Blade was a comic book movie or The Crow was a comic book movie.
Hey, wait. The
Deadpool says Marvel to start with.
The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren, was that R?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah, the original Punisher was rated R.
Okay, well,
it was S for shit.
What?
It was pretty bad, though.
All right, we got to move along. Let's get into, speaking of Deadpool, let's get into our movie reviews of the week. I just came from watching Deadpool. Hands down, best Marvel movie I've ever seen. I love the fourth wall breaks. Ryan Reynolds is perfect for this character. I'm really happy they brought him back. On a limited budget, and I know $60 million is not limited, but for me, it is for a comic book movie. You know, they took a risk. It was a rated R comedy. Well, it was a comedy. It was a rated R comic book action movie that hit the nail on the head. I've always loved Deadpool's kind of fourth wall breaks, and it transitions from, you know, he knows he's in a comic book to he knows he's in a movie, and just all the fourth wall breaks were great. One of the favorite ones was he was mentioning the X-Men, and I think it was Professor X, and he's like, Stewart or McKellen or McAvoy. Whatever he said, like McAvoy, yeah, Stewart or McAvoy, I can't keep track, you know, like. Like, that's awesome. I fucking love that. It's great because everybody knows. I think who's the giant fucking metal guy, the Russian guy?
Colossus.
Colossus. So he's going to Colossus. Colossus is like, I can hear you. He's like, yeah, but I'm talking to them. You know, like just that kind of stuff is a lot of fun for me. Being a wrestling fan, I think a lot of wrestling fans would enjoy it because of the fourth wall breaks and kind of the in-depth stuff. Action really held up. Acting performances were great. The love interest was hot and funny. And it was just, for smartasses, this is your fucking character, Matt. I see nothing wrong with this movie. I can't wait for a sequel. Fucking this franchise is awesome. And if they could somehow put him in X-Men movies, I guess maybe tone him down a bit. It would be fucking awesome. 10 out of 10. Zero hesitation. Best Marvel movie I've ever seen. Throw it to Carp.
Oh yeah, it was definitely awesome. Even from the beginning, when they're scrolling through like actors' names, it's like the
hot
the hot chick, some hot douchebag writer, and you know stuff.
British,
like that.
British villain. Yeah. It's fucking great.
It was really good. I loved this iteration of Colossus. It was perfect. The bitch version they had him in the last couple of X-Men. He looked like, you know, just a tall buff dude. In this, he actually looked like the big monster that he's supposed to be. So I really like that. Even Negasonic TJ Warhead, for what she was, I mean, they put like two or three different mutants together in her from the comics, but it worked. I mean, it was really well done for what it's exactly what Deadpool was supposed to be on screen, in my opinion. It was solid 9.5 out of 10, best movie of the year so far. So, but we haven't seen anything else yet. Definitely check it out if you haven't. If you haven't yet and it gets spoiled too bad, it's already made like $500 million worldwide. So you're on your own.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too worried about the spoilers here because it's been out for a little while. And that just reminded me of the Marvel comment he made when they were at the house. Like, how come there's only two of you? It's like they don't have a budget for whatever. Like, that was fucking... I was loving it. I just loving all the comments. It was
old school.
It really added to it.
When you say you like him for his fourth wall breaking, what do you know Deadpool from before?
I just know that he broke the wall in the comics. Of the few comics I did read with him, he knows that he's in a comic book. So, like, people think he's crazy, I guess, because he's talking to whatever, but he's talking to, like, us, the reader.
Okay.
And I just love that. It's a unique take on the universe. You know, they do it a lot, but I don't find they overdo it. And it just is the right amount of humor and action and everything. And even too, like, you see like a vulnerable side with him with the love interest too. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought those two were perfect together.
Yeah, I agree. Throw it to, well, we got Carp. Kev, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, pretty much, like, I love this movie, and I actually like that it had a lower budget. Like, because in a way, like, it was more about the character, not just a bunch of, like, crazy shootout scenes or just all about the special effects. So I really like that it had a lower budget, and you pretty much said everything I would have said. I absolutely love the fourth wall breaking, all the in-jokes and references and stuff like that. And this is a movie that had to be rated R, and obviously it was, so. So I guess I would give it 9.5 on 10 as well, because I absolutely adored the movie. I thought they did pretty much everything right that you can do in a movie like this.
Mob Jockey, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, I love this movie too. And honestly, I think the lower budget actually helped him. It actually had to showcase him, the character, and not the explosions. Not having anybody else in the movie like big, like a Wolverine, actually helped him too, because you put a big character in there with him and it takes away from Deadpool. You know what I'm saying? Even big villain would have taken away from Deadpool. Now, you hear a lot of people bitching and complaining, oh, there was no story. It's not the point. The point was, you now know who Deadpool is. He's introduced to the audience. Rumor is that he's going to be in the X-Force movie that's coming up, which this is almost going to guarantee that he'll be in it. But yeah, it sets up the universe of Deadpool, and it's fucking awesome.
He's my favorite character, because I guess he's the character I relate to the most, because I'm a smart-ass fucking prick, and that's right up my alley, this guy, man. He's awesome. Love him.
Yeah. How about all those haters that said Ryan Reynolds couldn't do it?
Yeah. Fuck them, man. Exactly.
How about Ben Affleck as Batman?
Oh, I'm okay with that.
He's tried. Yeah, he did one character one time and it didn't work. Boo! It's gonna suck. Bam.
No. Yeah. Everybody's shitting on it. I'm opening day for Batman, so I don't.
By the way, I actually think that Ben Affleck was not the problem with Daredevil. I think he did a good job as Daredevil. He was
no, it was movie. The writing.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he didn't do bad as that character either. You know what I mean?
You can only do what you've got to work
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that people are saying that he did bad the first time, he's going to do bad again. He didn't even do bad the first time. That's all I'm trying to say.
Geely was a fantastic movie.
Fuck is wrong with you?
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
Okay, move along. Next movie review. I believe, Carp, you've got a couple in the can.
Oh, I've got a shit ton, but I'm going to stick to three quick ones.
Rapid fire, motherfucker.
So, The Witch. Solid.
Which are we talking
about? It's the one where it uses two V's. It's The Witch. It's
The Vavitch.
It's based in the, like, just before the Salem witch trials began. So it's the 1600s when America is becoming America. Creepy America. As fuck, man. Like, this was legit scary at points without any real jump scares. This had me going.
That's fucked up, because you are like the horror aficionado.
There's a scene with a kid lying in bed and he's got this like monologue about the devil and this and that, and he's like, the way he's screaming it, and I was waiting for something to happen and nothing does, but like the way this kid acts his monologue, it got me going, man. I was like, holy shit, this was good. Lead chick is super cute. phenomenal, amazing acting. It's nice that they used, near the end, they start using Enochian, which is an actual ancient language. They speak like English was first being created. It's very old school English, so I could see for a lot of people they'd have trouble understanding it because a lot of people are not very educated. So I could see a difficulty with a lot of people having with this movie. For me, though, for what it was, it's a solid 8.5 out of 10.
All the horror fans, check it out.
I think I'd say if you like The Babadook, you would like The Witch. It's just the language was really hard to understand at some points, and I've actually studied ancient English, and
I haven't studied shit.
No, I read the Canterbury Tales in ancient English when I started college, and it's hard. It's very hard to understand.
Carp, I did not know this about you.
Second one I saw, I pulled a heavy set one day. I went to...
Are you two for one day?
I two for one did, exactly. I went to see The Boy to start, starring Lauren Cohan from The Walking Dead. It was okay at best. The creepy doll thing, I can see definitely getting some people who have, like, who are scared of dolls.
Oh, are you talking about Sarah Tancredi?
No, I'm talking about the hot chick who's still alive, Maggie.
Okay.
I could see The Boy really creeping some people out who are kind of scared of dolls or clowns and shit. This would probably get them. It had a twist that I knew was coming when it happened, so I was like, eh, figures. I mean, Cheapy Tuesday or Netflix, definitely checking out. For me, it's only kind of a 5 out of 10. And then the second movie that day was Bad Grandpa with De Niro and Zac Efron.
I was looking forward to seeing this.
I laughed quite a bit. Okay. There was only 4 people total, including me, in the cinema, and I was the only one laughing because I heard the people behind me speaking the other language from Quebec, so I don't think they understood half the jokes.
Right.
They were speaking Hebrew? Is that...
They were speaking Francais.
Oh, whoops. Okay, wrong one.
De Niro killed it, man. He made me laugh the most in this movie. Aubrey Plaza looked sexy as fuck when she's all
hitting. My girl. She's my girl.
She's hitting on De Niro. All like, he squirts sunscreen. They showed on the trailer, his shirt squirts sunscreen on her and she rubs it on her chest. He's like, oh, I came early. She's like, oh, that happens all the time to me. And I'm just like, oh, that's super sexy. Efron killed it as the grandson who's like an uptight lawyer type who, you know, gets attitude adjustment along the way from his dirty grandfather. Some hilarious racist stuff by De Niro. I hate to say it, but it was super funny. Definitely check it out if you have a chance. Solid Netflix, even if it's still out of Cheapy Tuesday, go check it out. It's 7.5 out of 10 for me.
All right, the gauntlet has been run. Carp, thank you very much for those movie reviews. Let's get into the box office for this week. Break it down.
Okay, so for the weekend of March 4th to March 6th, we have number one place, Zootopia, making $75 million with $158 million worldwide, overthrowing Deadpool after it was in number one place for 3 weeks. From the trailers, I want to see Zootopia. I don't know if anybody else has seen it yet, but it looks pretty funny, and I could see why it made so much money. Anybody have thoughts on why it did so well?
Because it's an animated film.
It's animated, and there's not a whole lot else out there.
Yeah, it was a Disney kids film during March break. Like, it did that works really well.
There you go. Second place, we have the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen, London Has Fallen, pulling in an all right $21.6 million on a $60 million budget.
Yeah, this franchise is falling.
Well, the thing is, it's a different writer and director, so I could see why. Even from the trailer, I wasn't as impressed as I was about Olympus Has Fallen personally. So I'm probably going to see it tomorrow because I have a free movie to go see. So
not looking too good in the review category, though.
Oh, no, it's getting shit on quite a bit. Well,
is it doing better than Terminator?
What's that?
A little bit better. The audience score gave it 63.
Okay.
You were a fan of Olympus. Did you want to see
it? I was a huge fan of Olympus. I have a baby. I haven't been to this. The last movie I watched at the cinema was Ant-Man. So, yeah, it's been a while.
So it's probably going to Netflix for you?
I'm going to, yeah, sure. Netflix. Or any other streaming type of site.
Kev or Mop, would you guys go see London Has Fallen?
No, because we've seen the story before. But I read a headline. It was something
about... Yeah, it was called Die Hard.
I was going to say, it's called Die Hard. We watched it.
I read a headline basically calling the movie racist because the terrorists were Middle Eastern. Yep.
Social justice warriors.
Does that mean that, like, what was it? Back to the Future's racist because they were Iranian terrorists?
All right. In third place, we have Deadpool still pulling in $16 million out of its fourth week in the cinema. for a total of $311 million domestic on a $58 million budget.
Worldwide.
Worldwide, it pulled in $675 million.
Oh, yeah. Sequels coming guaranteed.
Has to.
Well, I mean, they kind of hinted it in the post-credit scene.
Oh, no, it's been confirmed, by the way.
Oh, was there? Okay, that's bullshit. I asked the movie guy, is there anything else? He's like, no.
Well,
oh, you didn't see the end?
Oh, sorry. Oh.
Lied to you. Liar.
What the fuck was the end?
You should go back and punch him in the face.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, what happened?
It's kind of, he just looks at the screen and says, oh, by the way, there'll be a sequel.
He was dressed as Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, it was straight out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He dropped Keira Knightley's name as Cable. Yep. It was fantastic. You have to find that one on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube
I'll
at this point.
It. Fucking bastard. I'm like, and he looked me dead and fake. No, that's it. Because there was the post-credit stuff, animated stuff with the little Deadpool thing, you know? Like, that was cool.
Unicorn and shit.
Yeah. That was, he's jacking off the unicorn.
That's why you always check Media Stinger before.
No, but I figure I trust the guy that works there to not be a fucking dick.
Wait, old school. I imagine he's like, at the Iron Man, showing Iron Man 1, like, is there something at the end? No, you can go.
Like, what an asshole. Okay, I'm calling out Cineplex fucking famous players, fucking Scotiabank. Fuck you.
Whoa.
The nice thing about when I went and watched it, they left the lights down, so you knew there was still something coming.
Yeah, they had lights up. That's why I asked. Like, no, it's good. Whatever.
But it's a Marvel movie.
Did everybody leave their seat, or were there a lot of people sitting down still?
80% left.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I guarantee you, though, 60% of that 80%, I'd already seen it. So.
Oh, by the way, just the funny thing. You know the shitty Fantastic Four movie we got last year?
Oh, God.
People actually stayed till the end because they thought it was like a Marvel film. That's right.
Always check Media Stinger, man. Always check MediaStinger.com. Fourth place, we have a release from Tina Fey called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. It's her being a military reporter. It looks like crap from the trailer. I didn't want to see it.
You guys
it's,
get the joke of the title?
Yes. You have
Is
to be pretty much fucking stupid to not understand.
Yes, dude.
$7.4 million on a $35 million budget. It has made nothing worldwide so far.
I can tell you Paramount's saying Whiskey Tango Foxtrot for Tina Fey right now.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Fifth place in its second week is Gods of Egypt, making $5
million. Ouch.
That's a flop.
For a total of $23 million
Alex
on a Press budget
not getting
of $140 million.
Alex Press is not getting this movie.
How much did you say total?
Nobody cares about this
23
type of
million
anymore.
Total.
Nobody cares.
So the at least they made their money back out of it.
$140 million
nothing.
Budget.
Oh,
they have to make at least $280 million,
yeah.
And that's before ads.
And they've only made $72 million total worldwide.
They've lost $200 million with this.
Oh, and it looked decent from the trailers, but I have no interest in going to see it.
I saw it, I'm like, oh, sweet, I'll watch it when it's on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. It's something, you know, if you're bored at home and want to watch.
Well, what's
but it's just every fucking type of movie like this, it's all the same shit.
Yeah, it is.
There's like, nothing new.
But look, see, because 300 actually did really, really well. It was fun, but like, we got everything we wanted from that film. It didn't need to like spawn a whole new, like Immortals, nobody cared. 302 was not a huge, huge hit. It's funny, when the trailer was there with, like, taking place in the olden times, and you've got Gerard Butler, like, screaming to a crowd, my wife was like, didn't we just watch this film? We're just talking about 300.
It looks like it's Dungeons & Dragons in Egypt. That's all it looks like to me.
But isn't that what Hollywood does with everything? If they make money on one, they make 9 more just like it.
I guarantee you they ain't making 9 more of that. Unless they have unlimited funds, which ain't happening.
That might have killed Jamie Lannister's movie career, this movie. So,
but you know what? He's been doing crap for a while. Yeah. What was it on The Other Women?
See what happens when you fuck your sister on TV? Make a but terrible movie like this.
If that was your sister, wouldn't you too?
All right, moving along, Carp.
Sixth place, we have Risen, the story of Jeebus, making $3.9 million on its third week for a total of $28 million with only a $20 million budget. Foreign numbers, under $1 million, so...
It unfortunately did not do very well in the Middle East.
I've heard good things, though. Apparently, it's quite the detective-style story, so...
Wait, detective? But, like, with Jesus? Is he, like, the detective?
Well, it's when he rises from the dead around...
But is it, like, a whodunit, or what?
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard.
Haven't you read the Bible? Like,
it's who stole Jeebus' body, so...
You know what? I might actually give it a watch. I'm curious now.
Seventh place, we have Kung Fu Panda Numero 3, number 3. $3.5 million for a total of $133 million domestic I'm assuming the budget was near $200 million.
Undisclosed budget currently.
Undisclosed budget. Foreign of 189, so I could see there being a fourth. Kung Fu Panda is really popular, so.
At least it gives Jack Black a paycheck, so yeah. That's good.
What do you mean? He was in Goosebumps.
Yeah, and that made how much money? Nothing.
Not a lot.
Eighth place, we have The Revenant, where the Oscar-winning Leonardo DiCaprio gets raped by a bear, but he doesn't really get raped by a bear.
Fuck, I want to see this movie,
it
man.
It is an excellent movie. I went to see it with my father.
I saw it. Okay.
It's very slow.
It's very slow,
so expect a slow movie.
Old school, if you like snow and you like walking, you'll like the film.
I don't see why he won it. I think it's just because he's been screwed out of so many other movies, which is why he won it this time. Because there's only so much blowing snot bubbles out of your face that you should win an Academy Award. Look,
it's the exact same reason why Denzel won for Training Day.
I was going to say that. This is interesting. Denzel won for Training Day because the year that he had in the Malcolm X was the year that Pacino was like in Scent of a Woman. And Pacino didn't win for Godfather. He didn't win for Dog Day Afternoon. He went for Justice for All. So they were like, what the fuck do we do? And it's like, Denzel's young. He's going to do stuff later. Let's give it to Pacino this year. And then Denzel gets older. Like, well, we're going to give it to Denzel for this. So like, nobody ever gets it for like what they're supposed to get it for, you know?
I hate the Oscars.
Well, it's IOUs of
good movies. Yeah, it is. Well, look, old school. If you were to give DiCaprio an award for any film, which one would have been?
The Blood Diamond?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
He almost damn deserved it for The Basketball Diaries, and that was one of his first movies. So.
What about the one where he was on an island?
The beach?
He was a detective, but he was a nutshot. He was nominated for Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good too.
Realistically, he should have won it for The Aviator.
I was like,
I say Blood Diamond over Aviator.
Oh yeah. What about Catch Me If You
Really
Can? I like Catch Me If You Can.
That was good too.
Really good for that one.
Anyways, enough of the Leo win talk. We didn't do an Oscar episode this year. Ninth place, we have the kid from Kingsman playing Olympic hopeful and Eddie the Eagle. In its second week, it's made $3.1 million for a total of $10.8 for a total on a budget of $23 million. So not all that great.
Was that worldwide?
Oh, there was no worldwide numbers. There's only domestic of 11.1.
I'm pretty sure that's a British story to start with. So I would think it would do much better over there.
It is a British story. It is.
No overseas numbers yet.
Not yet. I don't know.
Maybe it hasn't released over there.
Maybe it hasn't.
And then in 10th place, we have The Witch, which I went to go see. $2.4 million for a total of $20 million. There's no way the budget for this movie was over $6 million. So I'm sure they're very happy with what they did. And that is the top 10 for this week.
Thank you very much, Carp. Movies coming out this week. First one's a thriller. I actually saw a trailer for it in Deadpool called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Something's coming.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, John Goodman, John Gallagher Jr., 10 Cloverfield Lane. Directed by J.J. Abrams, so right away that piqued my interest. I'm not too sure what the story is other than they're in a bomb shelter and there's something fucking outside, probably zombies or something. But I actually would probably check this out on a Cheapy Tuesday. Because of Abrams and Goodman.
By the way, one thing, Abrams did not direct it at all. It's directed by Ben Trachtenberg.
Oh, I see that he produced it. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. But that's interesting that he snuck
but
that
one
in
thing,
there.
The one thing, though, he produces, like, a whole bunch of stuff. So, like, I guess there's a little bit of a seal of approval, but it shouldn't indicate to you, like, guaranteed quality.
Well, since you're talking, your thoughts.
I never watched the first Cloverfield movie. I don't care for these types of films. But I like the actors in here, so I might watch it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's related to the first one?
I don't know. So it should. It's called Cloverfield. Like,
I was gonna say that's kind of been the rumors that it was an extension of it. Yes.
So I don't know. I don't care. I might watch it, but right now I don't care.
Carpy, thoughts?
If this is anywhere near the original Cloverfield, I was a big fan of. Hell, the trailer sold me. I like the slowdown of the that song. How it
I think kinda, We're Alone Now by Tiffany or whatever.
Yeah, well, not but Tiffany, the original version, I think. But nonetheless, how they slow that down and then they kind of turn it into this. It looks like they're in a bomb shelter after something happened. I mean, John Goodman is an amazing actor. So I'm a fan of Mary Elizabeth Winstead. When I saw the trailer, I said, yep, going to see it for sure. And from what I'm reading, it's based on a script titled The Cellar, which was then reworked into a Cloverfield sequel. So it's supposed to be a sequel to Cloverfield. And I'm definitely going to check it out when it comes out.
Kev, I know you're not into this, so Mop, your thoughts.
Yeah, actually, when I saw the trailer at the movie, I was really interested. But I kind of took it as John Goodman at his creepiest. He had some little girl kidnapped down in the cellar, as the way it looked. Now, how it actually turns out, who knows? But dude, I like John Goodman a lot. I don't think it is necessary to be a scene at a theater. You know what I mean? It just seems like I could watch it at home and get the same effect. But yeah, I definitely want to see it.
Okay, there you go. Not unison, but definitely positive thoughts on that movie. Next one coming out, the Sacha Baron Cohen movie called Brother Grimsley.
Grimsby.
Grimsby. Oh, okay. The Brothers Grimsby. I'm going to check out the trailer now.
Du producteur J.J. Abrams. Il lui a peut-être sauvé la vie, mais...
Je pense que l'advertissement
le français,
est dans la mauvaise langue pour les Américaines.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on seeing that movie, whatever
oh, oui,
it was.
Oui, oui, ho, ho.
Oh, oui, oui, ho, ho.
I am L.E.G.
That's from what again? What's that from again?
That's Pepe Le Pew from fucking...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but the French, the Americans think we're all freaking French from France.
With like giant frog things.
Well, guys,
you guys aren't?
No. Guys, yeah, exactly. In Tusk, Johnny Depp, did he have a French from France accent or did he have like a Quebecer accent?
He had from a France. Shit accent.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Some Jewish
guys,
mixed
you know that
with.
He's coming back, eh?
Yeah, and Moose Jaws.
It looks
and
horrible.
Yoga
horrible.
Yeah.
It looks horrible.
Yoga Hosers is already getting shit on.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
We know.
You are now transmitting it, Greg. Eyes on the target.
Alpha 1 now, Foxtrot. I'm in pursuit.
Target moving.
Bravo 1, he's mobile.
Bravo 2, give up pursuit now.
I'd rather not.
Hello, chaps.
Room for another.
Goodbye.
We'll take it.
Brothers Grimsby, I don't think that trailer really did it justice, but the other trailer didn't work. This is with Sacha Baron Cohen, and I forget the other British dude he's with there.
Mark Strong,
yeah, he's in a lot of like those British fucking like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, that type of stuff. So he's Sacha Baron Cohen's kind of playing his idiot, I guess, younger brother or whatever to the other spy. So I guess it's just a Kevin Hart kind of British version of a Kevin Hart cop comedy kind of thing. Looks interesting. I don't know if I'd see it, you know, in the theater. Maybe a Cheapy Tuesday. So I'll throw it like a Cheapy Tuesday for me. But it looks okay. I like Baron Cohen as well. And I know he's a very polarizing guy. You either really like him or hate him. And I'm more on the liking side. So I have good thoughts about it. And I'll probably check it out on a Cheapy Tuesday. Carp, your thoughts.
By the way, Mark Strong is not in Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. He's in... He's in Kingsman, Green Lantern, and he's the first villain in the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr.
He's also in Rock and Roll and many other movies, and mm-hmm. You're not Carp.
There you go. Carp, your thoughts?
I saw the Red Band trailer for this first, and I was fucking dying of laughter. This is a definite yes for me. If I weren't already occupied Friday, I would probably go with Watson and BB to go see this after a couple of beers before. This looks hilarious. There's even a part in the trailer where he's all beat up by Scott Adkins, and he's like, oh, you don't have guts. He's like, of course I have guts, Ukrainian Matt Damon, or Ben Affleck, or something he calls him. Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen is super over the top in almost everything he does. This is a yes for me.
Will, what's your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm being very dull this episode. I don't know what to think about this movie. I'm not that interested.
I'm guessing Kev's the same.
No, it would be a cheapy Tuesday for me, if anything.
Oh, cool. Are you a Baron Cohen fan?
I love Borat. Haven't liked anything since.
Okay. Mob Jockey.
Yeah, fuck Borat. Not saying that. Yeah.
Were you related to one of the frat guys in the fucking bathroom there when he was, is that why you pissed off?
No, I'm not Russian.
By the way, it wasn't the bathroom. Weren't they like in a trailer?
They were in a trailer. Yeah, the frat guys.
No, I don't like Sacha Baron Cohen. I never really have.
There you go. Like I said, he's polarizing. You either like him or you don't like him.
DVD release.
Okay, Will, what's coming out on DVDs this week?
Okay, so we've got a whole bunch of movies this week. Not as cool as last week, but you know, not bad. So we got the Peanuts movie. We've got In the Heart of the Sea, which was the movie of Chris Hemsworth versus the whale. We've got the Victor Frankenstein film, which had Harry Potter and Professor X together. We had Macbeth, which I started watching, but was really bored, so I stopped. But it's supposedly a really, really good film. So those are like the main films coming out this week.
Wait, hold on. So Macbeth starring Fassbender, you didn't watch all the way through to try to see his cock?
No, you know what? You'd be surprised. I did not care that much.
He just Googled and found the clip of it by itself.
Cock talk.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much. Check those movies out on DVD or however you access your media. We don't judge. Feedback coming up.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Okay, next one. This is actually from Carp. Took a page from Heavyset 330, paid for one movie, then walked right into a second. Hashtag scamming the system, hashtag OSATM. Carp, any thoughts on your illegal act?
If Heavyset's okay to do it, I believe I'm okay to do it. Plus, it's not the... I don't get points to go see the movies there. It's Guzzo, it's not Cineplex, so fuck them.
Fucking the system. Fuck you, Guzzo. Double A sent us a trailer. It was just essentially Betty White giving a thumbs up for Deadpool. Again, in my opinion, one of the greatest social media campaigns for a movie in the history of film.
Oh, God,
I agree.
Yes.
I agree big time.
Yeah, everything just killed it.
They really fucking did it right in all aspects of it. And the box office shows the success. It's great. Good for them. Brian, if Shyamalan directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, I guarantee everybody on the block would have prisoners in the basement. Hashtag OSATM.
That would be the twist.
Yeah. hey,
there you go.
I don't know what's going on, but the Visit there, his most recent one's gotten good reviews. So
No, it did. But this is like a return to form because it's going lower budget. It's the problem is when you give him a bit too much. When you stroke his ego, he tends to like harden. So you want to stop that.
There you go. Okay. Plugs, final thoughts. Carp, go ahead.
Of course, you could listen to All Beer episode 5, which came out not too long ago, edited by me. So any feedback on @AllBeerInside on Twitter would be appreciated.
It was terrible. It was really
bad. Go fuck yourself.
It was actually really good. You did a great job cutting
it. Oh, thank you, sir. As well, you can always find myself @KillerCarpeDiem on Twitter. As per usual, the boys over at StableWars.com. We're always looking for new players. You can win a DVD, and it's official. They're coming back. I will be taking care of that from now on. So
I thought you were looking for new members.
And
Carp.
New members who can win DVDs if they'd like to participate in games.
There you go. DVD. It's a free fucking DVD. Costs you nothing. Costs you 3 seconds to play a fucking pick'em game.
At most, you click on an ad to send us a few cents from Amazon, and you get a cheaper product from Amazon as well.
There you go. Mop, aren't you in that?
Yeah, I actually won one of those DVDs last year.
There you go. So fucking, there you go. Mop saying right now, it works. The system works. Will, Cybertron.com, SEIbertron.
Yes. Yeah. My most recent list is
the polarizing.
Yeah, no. It was the top 10 worst, most garbage Transformers of all time.
So, and apparently you got a lot of hate mail for that.
Yeah, they were like, This isn't garbage. This is a good toy. Like, no, it's garbage. You should know your shit better. Anyways, yeah, that was fun.
Was the one who was actually a garbage truck one of the garbage ones?
Or? He was not. Surprisingly,
oh,
he was
Come
not.
On,
I know,
irony.
You would think. No, I wasn't.
Mop the Jockey. Plug's final thoughts.
At the Mop Jockey. Check out Anything Goes and NFL Easy Picks right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. AllWrestling.com we can review too. And Daredevil the 18th. Can't fucking wait.
Awesome. So for Kebbo, Trek, Will, Carp, and the Mop Jockey, this is Old School saying, play the pre-roll.
Plants may have their limits.
Fuck plants.
In a world where a bunch of rich people dress up in fancy clothes to give each other trophies, these eight films will compete for Hollywood's highest honor, being the answer to the question, what did win the Oscar last year? The honest nominees for Best Picture are... From Adam McKay, the guy who brought you Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, and Anchorman 2, comes a sobering look at the financial crisis of 2008? Wait, what? So Wall Street crashes the economy for profit and got away with it? I would be so outraged right now if I understood what the hell was going on.
Whenever you kiss subprime, think...
Sorry, Margot Robbie. I appreciate that you're in a bathtub and all, but I still don't get it. No money, mo problems. Gear up for the most badass nominee for Best Picture since... ever? As George Miller's brutal world blurs the line between apocalyptic madness and Australian people being Australian.
He's a crazy smeg who eats schlanger.
Hey, it's nominated for Best Picture, not Best Screenplay, right? Furiosa Road, featuring Mad Max. Deep in the woods of North Dakota, revenge is a dish best served cold. Like, so cold you have to sleep inside a horse. But we really want to do an actual honest trailer for this movie. And we don't have the footage yet. So we're saving our best jokes for later. Long story short, Leo grunts his way to an Oscar. Frozen. Journey back to a time when news was printed on paper and delivered to your home. For a movie that really nails the look and feel of Boston. That Bostonians probably wish was set literally anywhere else.
90 priests.
Is that possible?
But don't worry, they're everywhere. In this well-acted, super-depressing episode of Dateline NBC that made audiences everywhere say, great, I probably live next to a pedophile priest too. Newsies might want to avoid these houses. From Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks comes a competently made, by-the-numbers drama about the Cold War that your dad definitely saw and you'll probably catch on a plane sometime. But when you're Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, even your average movies get nominated for Best Picture by default. Hey, they've both done better than this, but come on, they've earned it. Not Nearly Enough Spies. From the director of your favorite sci-fi movies, and also Prometheus, comes the film that's basically Castaway in space, which was technically already Gravity, which makes this Gravity on Mars? So hold on to your sides for what the Golden Globes declared the best comedy of the year.
If I die, I need you to check in on my parents. I know that sucks, talking to a couple about their dead son.
Get it? It's funny because he thinks he's never going to see his family again. Survivor, Mars, in the city of Brooklyn, I assume, comes the story of an immigrant lady who falls in love with her... I'll be honest, I haven't seen Brooklyn and neither of you. I hear it's great, though. You can only see so many movies. Gear up for one of the best movies of the year, which unfortunately almost shares a title with the worst movie of all time.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
That features amazing action and direction, but is so depressing, we're just gonna run all the times they say room in the movie.
Room.
Dub Boyhood. Starring the hilarious Matt Damon, Leonardo Dat Oscar Do, Domhnall Gleeson, Peltz, a lady driver. They're telling me to wrap it up. Darth Vader, Even-Tempered Max. So many names. Okay. Sabretooth, Lars Ulrich. Turner and Ruskies. Pedophile priests. Rapists. The evil banks. Sarah Reese Ronan. I don't have time for that one. And no black people. The Oscars. The Big Short was great, but let's be honest. It wasn't the best movie about five guys trying to stick it to the man this year.
Yo, Dre, yeah. What up? I got something to say.
This is Old School Episode. Old School Episode of the Movies. This is Old School Episode. Fuck!
You are retarded.